Well, you know, when a person begins to build a message before a congregation, that sometimes can be a lot of work. A lot of effort sometimes goes into that. And a lot of these men here work very hard. Of course, you can't tell it as well as they deliver the message. But I recall several weeks ago, our pastor, Philip Ost, was talking about the congregational survey and the results of it. And he mentioned everything that everyone wanted to hear. And he mentioned prophecy. And I thought, well, prophecy, I can hammer on that all day long. So I took that home and worked on it, and worked on it, and worked on it. And something else entirely came out. Kind of like reminds me a little bit of Aaron and Moses and the golden calf. I think it's Exodus 32. We're paraphrasing, of course. Moses asks Aaron, why? Why did you do this? And Aaron says, I don't know. I threw all the gold in the pot and it just popped out. Well, I'm not Aaron. This isn't a golden calf, I promise. But it did kind of pop out. And that's the scripture I was reminded of. So we'll move on a little bit. Have you ever had trouble with prayer? Have you ever wondered if a prayer was effective or not? Delivered correctly? Pleasing to God? Have you ever wondered if a prayer just bounced off the ceiling? Prayer is the lifeline of the Christian. It is the method by which we communicate with God and make our needs and concerns known to Him. It has often been said that God speaks to us through His Word, and we in turn speak to Him in prayer, and this is very true. The prayers of a person are vital, mission critical, not only for this life, but for the life to come. I've entitled this today, The Prayer of Faith. The prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith? How does it work? For what should we pray? And what can we expect from the prayer of faith? Those are the three things that we're going to touch on just briefly today. Both the method and the delivery of prayer are important. The delivery of prayer begins with one's attitude and approach to God. Humility is required for prayer, as well as awareness of to whom we are directing the prayer. This requires an ingredient called faith. These scriptures give us a few indications of what kind of faith is necessary for inspired prayer and acceptable with God. If you would please turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll begin here in verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, that is, believe God exists, and has the power to act, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Meaning that God keeps His promises. One of the fruits of the prayer of faith we find further down in verse 7, talking about Noah. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. The prayer of faith is not a one-sided communication, for God, in providing an answer, will often inspire us to move, to act, to improve, to go into a different direction. Prayer can, in fact, increase faith and zeal, as we have seen with Noah. This is the kind of inspired prayer that we should be reaching for as men and women of God. Doubt which is the opposite of faith, can destroy one's prayer efforts. We find something on this in James 1 and verse 6. Single-mindedness of heart toward God is always needed. The prayer of faith is necessary, not only to connect with God, but to build a relationship with Him on a continual basis. In fact, God is anxious for contact with His children. John 4 and verse 23. I recall a lady in the congregation who isn't with us anymore, very fine woman. Her son was in the military, in the army. He was stationed somewhere in Eastern Europe. And she would always be eager to have some kind of a communication from him, whatever that was. And I would ask her from time to time, have you heard from your son? How's he doing? What's he doing? And when I'd ask, she would just light up. And she'd tell me, yes, I've heard from him. We talked on the phone. Or he sent me this, or he sent me that. He's coming home on such a date. He has all these plans. I was impressed with how much she just lit up like a light when she heard from her son, when you asked about her son. And I've come to the realization that is God's attitude towards His children. God is anxious, like this woman was, to hear from His children. If you would please turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, we'll now go to there. Chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Here we will find a superb example, the prayer of faith in Elijah. Here is a confrontation between the prophet Elijah and the priests of Baal. This is a very well-known story, how Elijah was used to turn the hearts of the people back to the true God. There are a couple things we can still draw out from here. Elijah repaired the altar. He prepared a sacrifice. And we'll begin here in verse 33. Elijah said, fill 4 pot water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are the God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Elijah knew by faith that the burning of the sacrifice by fire, even totally soaked with water, presented no problem at all for the God of Israel. Elijah knew that God, the creator of all things, was also the creator of all physical law and the sustainer of that same law. Elijah also knew that there could be no contact with God of any kind without a proper sacrifice. In the same way, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the God of the Old Testament, allows us direct access to the throne of God itself. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. But notice something else. If you want God's involvement in something, if you want His involvement with your prayer, make that prayer for the benefit of someone else. Elijah asked nothing here for himself, but for the hearts of the people, that they may be turned back to God. Another fine example of prayer is of faith is Moses, the man of God. Moses had a relationship with God which was developed through active, fervent prayer. As Moses went through life, he learned things about God and about the things that are important to God. He learned not to grumble and complain against God as his brethren often did. This is good advice for us today. I remember someone in my life that often told me, "I'm just another grumbling Israelite." Well, that's true. But if you're seeking a close relationship with God and a close prayer life with God, this has no place. Neither does his cousin, gossip. God does not respect these things at all. He learned also that the purpose of prayer is not simply to deliver a list of requests. Moses was not afraid to discuss a problem with God. All this tells us that God was very real to Moses, a real person, a friend. If you would please turn to Exodus 32. Exodus 32, we're not going to talk about the golden calf here. Exodus 32, verse 11. This was a time when God was purposed to destroy Israel because of their sins. And God purposed to continue that same line through Moses, which he could have done. This is what we find. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, 'He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens. And all this land I have spoken of, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people." Moses was not afraid to discuss a problem with God. This passage tells us several things. First, there can be more than one answer to a problem. Second, God respects someone who has the courage to pour it all out, like Moses did. If you want God's attention, pour it out. Pour out your heart to God. Let him know what's on your mind. Of course, a perfect example of prayer and a prayer life is Jesus Christ. Examine his prayers and his life. The key to his prayers was his relationship that he maintained with God the Father. God was real to him. They loved each other. Jesus Christ sought to do the work and the will of the Father throughout his human life. He put God first in all things. It would be a good study to examine the prayers of Jesus Christ. A few of his prayers are still being answered today. John 17, his prayers for the church, that we all be kept from harm. These are still being answered today. And Paul. Paul loved his brethren, and he always put them before himself. Good to make a study of Paul's prayers as well. One good way to do this is to look at the opening lines of each of the epistles that Paul wrote. You will find what his prayer concerns were. For what should we pray? If you find yourself here from time to time, you're not alone. Even Jesus' own disciples had to be taught to pray. Luke 11 and verse 1 and Matthew 6. Verses 5 to 13. Paul prayed for his enemies, for those who mistreated him. 2 Timothy 4, verse 14. We find Jesus Christ himself expounding this very same thing. Luke 6, and verse 28. He also said that we should pray for laborers to be sent into his harvest. Matthew 9 and verse 38, Luke 10 and verse 2. But should we not also pray for the church, that the church itself be strengthened and nourished to receive these new workers? How about spiritual prosperity? 3 John 1 and verse 2. Praying for wisdom, James 1 and verse 5. We should pray for one another. Here we have come to a section of prayer that is difficult for me personally. That is prayer for our various leaders. These scriptures say it is wise to do this, but for me it's difficult, and that's something I have to continue to overcome. To see the many evils committed in the name of government, and still bend a knee in prayer for these people. What we have to understand is this. This prayer has fruit attached to it. Not turning there, but in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2, we find this written. Paul to Timothy. Therefore, I exhort first, above all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority. And here is the fruit, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. In spite of how I feel about these people and the things they've done and the lies they tell, I still have to bend a knee in prayer and ask God to forgive them and help them. This is something that we need to do. Fasting. Why would someone want to pray about fasting? Well, let's have a look. If you would please turn to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 58. This is a very well-known passage. Usually someone that talks about fasting will turn here. Beginning in verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, the day of your fast you find pleasure, exploit all of your labors. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Biblical fasting, that is fasting for spiritual purposes, is something that grates against human nature for several reasons. First, the human body is designed to resist famine. It does not react well to be denied food and water. There is something within the human nature that wants to believe fasting can be used as a tool to bend the will of God. Well, that's something God just will not permit. We just read that. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Instead, fasting is a tool to bring out our will in subjection to Him. It is wise as we approach the Day of Atonement, for instance, to ask God to prepare our hearts and minds for this fast. It would be a terrible shame to go through the high day, the Holy Day of Atonement, and the fast be wasted. Fasting is a worthwhile prayer goal. The human mind and body must be taught to draw close to God. This is one reason why human nature must be overcome. Further in verses 6 through 12 of this passage show the power of fasting, if you want to take it upon yourself to read that later on. Next are the fruits of the prayer of faith. What can we expect from the prayer of faith? By faith, Hannah appeared to God, appealed to God in fervent prayer, and was granted a son, Samuel, who became one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. Hannah was not afraid to pour out her heart before the Most High God. 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you would please turn to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. In the previous chapter to this, in chapter 9, you will find the good example of Daniel's attitude and approach to God to prayer. We're not turning there. As noted before, it's good practice to have prayer for others. Daniel was asking forgiveness and mercy not only for himself, but for his people Judah. Verses 1 through 9 of Daniel 10, you will find the background where Daniel received the visit by the angel. We'll begin here in verse 10. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking his word to me, I stood trembling, and that I can imagine. Then he said to me, and this is the part that's important to understand. Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. Understanding and true humility are the fruit of faith. If Daniel did not have faith in God, he could not have reached this point. This attitude and approach to God expressed here by Daniel is the key to the prayer of faith. The result of this fervent, heartfelt prayer by Daniel is the angel that was sent to strengthen him. I've never seen an angel. If I did, it's likely my reaction would be much like Daniel's if I didn't just fall dead completely. But I've seen them work firsthand. Years ago, our oldest grandson and his mother were visiting us at home, along with our youngest daughter. We have a split foyer home, so there are stairs right there in the living room. And we usually use a gate there to keep the children away from the stairs. Well, on this particular day, nobody fixed the gate. And our grandson, still in diapers, was walking towards the stairs. At the time, I was recovering from a back injury, so I could barely move. And I watched him take one step after another towards the stairs. And I raised my voice for someone. I said, help him, stop him. Nobody heard me. Finally, he got on the very edge of the stair, and I prayed to God. I said, Father, please do not allow this child to be hurt. That moment, he flew backward about 2 feet. He was pushed so hard that his feet and his legs came right out from under him. And he landed on his diapered rear end, crying. Then the women rushed to him. Everything was just fine. Well, I told everybody about what I saw. Their reaction was, okay, Dad, that's fine. Well, they don't have to believe me. I was there. I know what I saw with my own eyes. I don't know if an angel was there already or one was sent from the third heaven at the speed of thought. I just don't know. I do know this. God has righteous angels. Thankfully, he dispatches them to strengthen and assist his people. I know one thing. The prayer of faith and God's answer to that prayer of faith saved my grandson. If you would please turn to Acts chapter 16. Chapter 16. Paul and Silas ministering. After a confrontation with the Jews, they were beaten severely and jailed. I recall a sermonette message I gave some years ago on the blessing of the song service. And at that time we talked about how song and music as a direct channel to the human mind. If you want to reach the human heart, you can do it through song, through music. But you can also reach the heart of God through music. Heartfelt praise to God and song reaches the heart of God. God's heart is also moved by the prayer of faith. We'll begin here in verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. Excuse me. Verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword, was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." In those days, a Roman jailer would be under a death sentence for allowing prisoners to escape. Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Here we find that the prayer of faith on the part of Paul and Silas in the prison resulted in the prison being thrown wide open, down to the foundations. Paul and Silas were freed, and even the jailer and his family were converted to God. This is the God we serve, and this is his reaction to the prayer of faith. You don't always see it. You don't always know it. But he will answer the prayer of faith. If you would please turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11. We'll begin here in verse 35. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. How many times has God strengthened each and every one of us? Became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. So why is it important to review the prayer of faith? Well, first, everyone can use a review on this. There is no person living who could not benefit from a closer, stronger prayer relationship with God. People still need help and intervention on things. There's more. We now find ourselves once again at the close of another Roman year. We have a new year beginning. We now have a new president. We have a new Congress. This has been an agonizing year for the American people. Hopes are high. Perhaps our situation will improve. We just don't know. Only God knows. But there are some things that we can know that are certain. First, our future and our destiny are not the result of our political choices. They are the result of our faith and attitude toward God. We are all here today, one Sabbath day closer to the kingdom of God. That is certain. If you would please turn to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is once again a passage we are all familiar with, but I think for the purpose of this message, it's important we turn here and read this. When I think of our people and the troubles we are in, I often think of this passage, beginning here in verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. For if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. This prayer of faith would heal our people and heal our entire land, so says God Almighty, if they would. But all of us here know today that the chance of that kind of repentance from our people is very slim. But it's important for us to know and realize that this is the reaction of God to the prayer of faith. Repentance, healing, restoration, deliverance, strengthening. As we go into this new year, we need this prayer of faith. If we choose, this prayer of faith can help us to keep the upcoming holy days as we never have before. God help all of us to remain close to Him and grow with Him with the prayer of faith.